politics because, you know, quite often Mother Nature throws things at you and you have to be flexible and roll with the punches. So we're going to be flexible today as a committee. We're not going to hear 2188 today either. We are going to go ahead and hear 2195 after all. So, Ray, if you'd get the sign-up sheet for 2195.
Did he really? Did you tell people they could leave already on this bill?
No, I did not. Only on 2197. We're not going to hear 2197. Okay, we're going to open a public hearing on House Bill 2195. Chair would like to recognize Representative Wayne Krieger. And Representative Krieger, if you're welcome to come sit with us at the dais if you'd like. Your option. Very good, Representative. Okay. Ray, you want to tell us what 2195 is about here?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Thank you.
Members of the committee. What House Bill 2195 does is extend the period in which the Forest Products Harvest Privilege Tax is imposed. It eliminates the tax used to fund assistance to non-industrial private forest land owners.
Okay.
Mr. Chair.
And this is an agency bill, correct, Ray?
That is correct, Mr. Chair, and it does have a subsequent referral to revenue.
It does. Okay, very good. All right, do we have anyone from the agency here who's... Clark, come forward if you would. And I think you were asking for Hal Salwasser. Is he outside? Why don't you go out and see if you can bring him in also. Welcome, Clark. And for the record, you state your name.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Clark Seeley, Assistant State Forester for the Department of Forestry. Thank you for the opportunity to testify this afternoon in support of House Bill 2195. 2195 is the bill that proposes to establish the rates for the Oregon Forest Products Harvest Tax for the 2 years coming. And it's the nature of the bill is such that the rates do have to be reset and established by the legislature every 2 years. The bill provides revenue for the operations of both the Department of Forestry in our Forest Practices Program, as well as the Oregon State University College of Forestry Forest Research Lab as a part of their funding mechanism. For the Department of Forestry, the revenue from the harvest tax is combined with general fund dollars in a matching ratio of 60% general fund, 40% harvest tax that then funds that program. And we see that, and the legislature has seen that historically as a shared, representing the shared responsibility for administration of forest practices by both the general public and by forest landowners. Now the bill, this version of the bill, this go-around also removes reference to the use of harvest tax for our forestry assistance program, and that's essentially a housekeeping piece of this bill because the harvest tax was actually removed or phased out of use for forestry assistance in the last session for this biennium for 0103. So this language that you see that deletes the reference simply cleans that up and removes reference to the tax years 2000 and 2001. The rates for forest products harvest tax are established on a dollar per thousand board feet harvested basis, and there's essentially three components that go into the calculation of the rate. The first is the current biennium ending balance for the use of harvest tax. We obviously spend only what we need, and if there is any excess tax collected through the course of the biennium, that gives us an ending balance, and we carry that balance forward then to calculate the rate for the following 2 years. Secondly, of course, the projected budget requirements of both the Department of Forestry and the research lab for which the harvest tax supports operations. And then the third element is the forecasted harvest in the state for the coming 2 years. And so taking those three pieces together, ending balance projection, the budget needs, and then the projected harvest levels, we go through a process to establish the actual rate per 1,000 board feet. The tax is collected by the Department of Revenue, and on a quarterly basis, our portion of the revenue is transferred to the Department of Forestry. Now, we typically introduce the bill, as you see, with blanks in the place for the rates for two reasons primarily. One is that, again, we do still have two quarters of revenue yet to receive, timber to be harvested and revenue to be received this biennium, and that will impact the ending balance, and we want to be as accurate as we can there. We'll have that turnover early next month in February, and then the final turnover in May. And then secondly, of course, our budget, the Department of Forestry's budget, is directly connected to this revenue, so we need to see how our budget progresses through the process for the Forest Practices Program. And again, ultimately, that budget number for Forest Practices will get plugged into the equation. So we propose the bill initially and introduce it initially with those blanks for the purposes of keeping those open until such time later in the session where we can see how our budget matches up and the final revenue is received. In summary, just would say that the Department of Forestry supports House Bill 2195. We welcome the opportunity to work with the committee as we progress through the process, and I'd be glad to answer any questions.
Okay. Members, do we have any questions? Representative Nelson.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Seeley, for those of us who are not accounting quizzes, could you just walk us through this formula?
Yes, Chair Krupp and Representative Nelson. The formula essentially takes the ending balance of harvest tax revenue that the department has received in the current biennium and factors that into the equation, and then we take the projected budget need for forest practices in the coming next biennium, 03-05 in this case, and then we consider then the estimated volume of wood that will be harvested in the next 2 years. And out of that, then, we get a rate per 1,000 board feet harvested, a dollar rate per 1,000 board feet harvested that's necessary to support the budget. And again, one of the key factors in the equation is that we don't simply assume that we start with a budget divided by the volume harvested, but we take into account, in a true accounting, from a true accounting approach, the actual money if we have an ending balance that can be carried forward. So it's a continual, on a biennial basis, it's a continual actual cost approach, and we think that's the right way to do it.
Yes, sir.
Follow up, please, Mr. Chair. So, Mr. Seeley, what was the ending balance in the last biennium?
At the end of the 99-01 biennium, I believe we had, for the Forest Practices Program, I think we had about $400,000 in harvest tax revenue that was then carried forward into the calculation for this biennium, for 01-03. And we'll do the same thing again this spring as these final two quarters of revenue come to us in next month in February and then again in May. We will then see what kind of ending balance we have at the end of this biennium and again carry that forward in the calculation.
And follow up, Mr. Chair.
Yes.
The use of this money is totally used by the Department of Forestry?
Chair Krupp and Representative Nelson, actually the bill sets the rates in statute for two purposes. One is for the Department of Forestry for our Forest Practices Program, and the other rate that is set is for partial funding of the Forest Research Laboratory at Oregon State University College of Forestry. So there's actually two purposes for the funds, and different rates are set for each of those purposes. Because, again, our budgets are different and our ending balances are different.
Okay.
So the bill sets two different rates, and one each for the Department of Forestry and one for the College of Forestry's research lab.
Last question, Mr.
Yes.
So, Mr. Seeley, the difference in this biennium and the last one, do you estimate this number will be up or down? Or?
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, good question. We're forecasting at this point, our forest economist is forecasting at this point, a slight increase in the harvest volume next biennium compared to this biennium. We base the current rates for this biennium on a 6.9 billion board foot basis, a 6.85 billion board foot basis, and our economist is estimating a 6.99 billion board foot harvest level for next biennium. So a little increase in the harvest volume. That actually has the effect of lowering the rate somewhat. And then part of the process will also involve our estimate of budget need. We don't have, at least at this point with the governor's recommended budget, we don't have significant additions to the budget in forest practices, so we don't anticipate, a big bump in the rate based on an increased budget. And the other factor is that we may end up with a slightly higher carryover of revenue from this biennium into the next, more so than we did when we prepared the 2001-03 budget and rates, because as we have reduced our general fund spending in this program over this biennium, as we have worked with you all to reduce general fund, there's also a corresponding reduction in our spending of harvest tax. In fact, it's a statutorily connected relationship. We can't spend any more than 40% of our total expenditures in forest practices from harvest tax. So if we reduce spending in general fund, we can't offset that by increased spending in harvest tax. We actually just don't spend as much in harvest tax either. But the harvests continue, landowners continue paying harvest tax, and those revenues do come in, but essentially they sit in the bank. And again, we may have a slightly higher carryover. So it's possible that we could even see a reduced rate for the Department of Forestry compared to the rate currently. Currently, we have a 91 cent per thousand board foot rate for the Department of Forestry, and we could even see a slightly reduced rate, partly because the harvest levels we think are projected to go up a little bit, and we may have a slightly higher carryover next biennium, which would also help. I hope that helps.
Thank you very much.
Okay. I think so.
All right. Very good. Question for you. Do you anticipate that we're kind of at a fairly static level of timber harvest right now? You've got us projected out here through 2007. You think that will probably hold true, depending on what happens with if the federal government chooses to try to enact more of the Clinton management plan for forests?
Chair Krupp, the attachment one to my testimony shows the chart that you're referring to, and our forest economist, Gary Lettman, did in fact factor in some increased level of harvest from federal lands for the coming biennium based on the premise of some of the current federal legislation and rulemaking that is underway within the Forest Service. He's not factored in a significant increase, frankly, but on the order of possibly 100 million board feet over the two-year period increase off of federal lands. Beyond that, frankly, it's hard to tell. And I'm not a forest economist and can't necessarily speak for Gary. We try to be he tries to be as realistic with what he knows and factors into the forecast, but he also tries to be relatively conservative and not assume that we will necessarily see significant changes in federal harvest patterns.
Okay, very good. Representative Nelson?
Thank you. I'm just going to take advantage of this opportunity, Mr. Seeley. In forest practices, is there any hope that we'll do what's right with the old growth timber. I mean, it seems like we're spending this money for forest practices, but yet, you know, we're not doing anything about the very cause of the reason, you know, I've needed to send helicopters to fight your fires. And I'm concerned, you know, that it seems like to me that should be a top priority in the use of these funds to do what's right. And I know you have restrictions, and I'm just wondering if there's anybody going to move in that direction.
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, of course, under state law and within the framework of the Oregon Forest Practices Act, the act itself doesn't restrict and doesn't even speak, frankly, to the age of timber being considered for harvest on private or state lands. And so we see, of course, the primary old growth issues still residing and have for a number of years on federal land management. And I think that to some extent, as I answered the chair, it's yet to be seen if we'll truly see dramatic changes in federal forest policy under this administration compared to previous. The Northwest Forest Plan that was enacted nearly 10 years ago now did anticipate a level of harvest in older forests. The difficulty has been, I believe, frankly, that the Forest Service has been in part stymied in the courts from achieving those harvest levels, but also have not been able to put into place over the 10-year period an adequate mechanism to kind of clear away the internal bureaucracy and get on with it. I think the Forest Service does, in fact, have a new chief within the last year or 14 months. And I believe from what I see of his public direction and direction given to the Forest Service leadership, some positive indications, frankly, in terms of change. But it's a complicated system, so we'll see.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Seda, you've mentioned the anticipated $400,000 ending fund balance. Am I correct that would be the end of this biennium?
Chair Grupp and Representative Hunt, no, that actually was what we had at the end of the 99-01 biennium that we used then to build this current biennium figure on. I think that we could see possibly as much as $700,000 to $900,000 now carrying forward into 03-05 from this biennium. Again, we'll have to see how these last two revenue turnovers come for these last two quarters. But frankly, we don't see anything right now on the horizon that's going to change our forecasting for harvest for these last two quarters real dramatically, either up or down. So I think we'll have a real good carry forward.
Yes, I'm going to follow, Mr. Chair. Do you have a specific target as you're building your budget as to a percentage of the overall collected taxes? How do you arrive at you have a goal and funding balance based on some percentage?
Chair Krupp and Representative Hunt, it's a little bit different situation in that, and it's a little bit different approach to taxation, if you will, than maybe the norm, particularly as you think about property taxes and how they operate. The tax rate that's created for forest products harvest tax is actually not the starting point, but it's actually the end result of all of the process. In other words, we propose to you a budget for forest practices program for the next biennium. You approve a budget for us, and then based on the budget that is approved, the tax rate for forest products harvest tax gets generated. So it really is an end product of the equation rather than assuming that we need or that we will establish a $1 rate and then see how much revenue that generates for us. Does that?
Maybe if I could just follow up one more time. Has the ending fund balance varied considerably over time, or is it typically always in that $400,000 to $700,000?
Chair Krupp and Representative Hunt, that's a real good question. It has not dramatically fluctuated over the period of years. We have been closer to zero than that in some previous biennia, in the $200,000 to $300,000 range. We've not been as high an ending balance as we probably are going to be this biennium before. And again, most of the reason for the ending balance possibility for this biennium, 01-03, is because as we have constrained spending in general fund, there's been the corresponding constraint of harvest tax spending, but the revenue has continued to come in.
Yes, and I'm just take advantage of this one more time and ask you, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Seeley, what volume of timber did we lose in fires last year?
Chair Krupp, Representative Nelson, I can't give you a figure off the top of my head, but I'd be glad to get some information back to the committee. We've got some very broad estimates considering the kind of the expanse of the fires and the intensity and so forth. We do have some broad estimates that I can provide to the committee. I'd be glad to do that.
Actually, that actually brings me to a question I was going to ask you, Clark, is in regard to your chart and projected harvest levels. If perhaps the federal government were actually able to accelerate salvage logging, for lack of a better or more politically correct term, you know, we burn about 900,000 acres on federal lands. If they were to accelerate that, that would dramatically increase. I think we did some preliminary figures on the Biscuit Fire alone. And very conservatively, we were estimating a couple of billion board feet, conservatively. Now, in your model, obviously, I don't think you've built anything in there in terms of the level of harvest you would anticipate. But secondly, how much money do you think we really did lose? And I want to go back to Representative Nelson's question. How much money did this state lose overall based on the fire season, evaluation of deteriorating value of and maybe let's look at the last 2 years, because I'm familiar with the Bridge Creek fire.
Yes.
Over in Ukiah, where we still haven't achieved any salvage logging on the ODFW lands. We did do some on the state park lands almost immediately. But I think that would be good for us to get those numbers, because I think that's germane to really this whole discussion, certainly germane to what this committee is charged with looking at. But I think it's wise that we would just estimate that.
Be glad to do that, Mr. Chair.
Some time here in the next week or so.
Absolutely. Yeah, it'll be again. We'll be working with fairly rough numbers in terms of volume. Just based on the damage assessments that have been completed so far, and there's still a lot of work to do there. But we can certainly work within those parameters, and frankly, the calculation then is simple on the calculator, the harvest tax rate times that volume, and we'll be glad to provide that to you and summarize that.
Very good. President Nelson.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Mr. Seeley, on our Ag Committee in the last session, I believe, you know, we recommended that we increase our budget for fighting fires, and then I guess it didn't happen for you. What do you think we need this year?
Chair Krupp and Representative Morgan, Representative Nelson, we do believe that at this, and you'll hear more and see more of this through our budget process. We do believe that with reductions that have been taken in general fund for the fire program this biennium, that we are at a level of protection that is less than what we have traditionally carried as current service. We will need to talk with you about the possibility of increasing the general fund side of the funding for fire protection by maybe as much as $1 million or $1.5 million over the biennium. That money is directly statutorily connected and coupled with the landowner assessments, actually on a 2-to-1 basis. So the landowners will be will be having increased assessments in the range of $2 to $3 million to match those general fund dollars. But I think what we hear, and I believe what you will hear at our budget hearings under testimony, is that the forest landowners are ready to pay their share of those dollars that are necessary to provide an adequate level of fire protection, and are frankly concerned that statutorily they may not be able to pay their fair share, if you will, if the general fund is lower and becomes a constraining factor, which it can be in the way that the laws are currently constructed.
So, Mr. Chair, the total is what? We need another $1.5 million, but what is the total?
We currently are carrying, in the governor's balanced budget request, approximately $16 million of general fund for the fire protection program. That then again is coupled with about $30 million of landowner assessments for fire protection. And those are the acreage assessments that forest landowners pay on an annual basis. So that's kind of the magnitude of the need.
All right. Thank you, Representative Nelson. It should be noted that the Biscuit Fire alone ran about $150 million in terms of money required to stop that event. So it is an important issue, and we'll have to discuss that clearly. This is not an easy session to find extra money for those types of things, but the amount of assets, and that's why I kind of wanted to know how much we're losing in terms of tax revenue.
Absolutely.
Those kinds of losses in the future, especially with the potential year we may have coming at us, I think that's a profound argument to say this is a high priority. Mm-hmm. Got to put the money in it. Representative Nelson.
Well, I was just curious of how do we have any uncollectible, Mr. Seeley, from these landowners?
Chair Krupp.
Any unreceivables?
Mm-hmm. Chair Krupp and Representative Nelson, the forest patrol assessments, as they are called under the law, are collected along with a landowner's property taxes. In fact, they show up as a line item on property tax statements. They're not considered taxes for the purposes of ballot measure 5 and 50 limitations, but they are on the property tax statement. So our collections, frankly, mirror property tax collections, and over time, those collections have been in the 97 to 99% range, not a significant amount uncollected over time.
Very good. Members, any additional questions? Thank you, Park.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Thank you.
And the chair would like to call Ray Wilkinson. Ray, if you'd come forward once again, please. Welcome again, Ray.
Thank you again. Ray Wilkinson, Oregon Forest Industries Council. I'd also like to speak on behalf of OFIC in support of this legislation. This is another one that went through the Board of Forestry screening process. This is actually a perennial bill that comes every 2 years to the legislature. And it reflects two programs that have long histories. The Forest Practices Act has been around for over 30 years, and for most, if not all, of that time, the cost of administering the Forest Practices Act has been shared between the general fund and the forest industry through this harvest tax on a 60-40 ratio. We have no problem with that. We've been doing that for a long time and don't object to continuing to do that. The other piece, as Clark mentioned, is for research at OSU. They have a state-of-the-art, world-class forest research facility at OSU that has achieved a lot of benefits over the years in not only to landowners but to society in general in terms of wood products and silviculture. And we pay a pretty good chunk of annually into that, again, using this harvest tax as a mechanism. Put it in perspective, the harvest tax, a little bit in dollar terms, these two components of the harvest tax have to be re-upped every 2 years by the legislature, mainly because the rates fluctuate and we want to make sure the rates are accurate to reflect those ratios. There are two other major harvest taxes that aren't set annually by the legislature. One is for the fire program. That is set in statute also, but it's a semi-permanent rate. It doesn't need to change every 2 years. And there's another piece of the harvest tax that goes to what's called the Oregon Forest Resources Institute, which is a forestry education state agency, basically, funded exclusively through the harvest tax. And that's actually the highest, most costly component of the four at the moment. The total harvest tax rate at right now, if you add all four of those programs together, these two plus the other two, is a little over $3 per 1,000 board feet. And if you use the department's projected 7 billion board foot harvest for the next biennium, then the math is pretty simple on that. It's 3 times 7 is $21 million is what the harvest tax will raise over a two-year period at current rates and current projected harvest tax. So it's not an insignificant tax, but it's one that the people who pay it, which the people I represent, don't object to on any of those four components. So I guess finally, in closing, as was just previous testimony, particularly on the Forest Practices Act, it's very difficult to determine the rate until we get to the end of the legislative session and the department's budget has been worked by the Ways and Means Committee, because they identify the 60% they're going to pay, and then you can calculate the 40% that the harvest tax is expected to pick up. So traditionally, this bill goes from this committee to revenue to Ways and Means. So
very good.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for the time.
Members, no.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Wilson, is this $3 is this high relative to the past, or how does it?
Representative Nelson, it's high. There's been times in the past it's been a little bit higher. There's been other programs that in the past have been, the harvest tax has been a component of the funding, that are no longer. There was a big jump in the mid-90s for one biennium only, when the forest industry stepped up and basically helped pay to get the Oregon Salmon Plan off the ground in 1997, and the general fund really wasn't in a position to put in the dollars that required, so we kind of volunteered to match the general fund dollars on a temporary basis to get that going. So that caused a big one-time jump. So it has been higher in the past, but it's still high by on a historical trend. It's pretty high right now.
Members, any additional questions? All right, Ray, thank you.
Thank you.
Well, the chair, is there anyone else here who'd like to testify on House Bill 2195? Hearing none, the chair is going to close a public hearing on House Bill 2195. Members, we're not going to move into work session right now. Because of my earlier statements, Dean Sauwasser decided to leave, and as a courtesy to him, this really does impact his department significantly, and I'd like to afford him the opportunity to share his thoughts with us on this. So we will work this session, and it does correctly go to the Revenue Committee, and then it will end up in Ways and Means. So we're going to just hold this briefly until probably the first part of next week. And we really have no other business to conclude here today. I will say again, for those of you in the audience, Ray and I shortly here this afternoon will be setting forth our next week's schedule, and that will be available for your perusal tomorrow, so that you can have an opportunity to perhaps more adequately plan for the various pieces of legislation in terms of your testimony. We again apologize. We had to start somewhere, I guess, and we're at the beginning of this session. So we'll do our very best to give you plenty of adequate lead time so that you can be prepared. And with that, we want to thank you all for coming and appreciate your testimony. And we are adjourned.